Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on, featuring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is not here. He's in Germany, of all places, Ira, eating all kinds of sausage and drinking all kinds of beer. And the sage is here. How are you, Ira? Before we get into some of this exciting stuff we got going on, how you feeling? And that, what a game on Sunday. I don't know what we learned, but we're going to find out.
Stevie, today's my anniversary, Mr. Isbitz. Anniversary, 41 years. 41. And we're going to celebrate it at a nice restaurant in Tampa. Then when I come home, I'm going to put the TV on and see what the election results are going on. I voted today. You know, hats off to DeKemper, Steve. He's paying a lot of money. He's going first class. I'm glad he's going to be out there. He's going to be our man on the scene. God bless him. Steve, you had a little calamity. You had a little calamity at the Bucks game Sunday. I walked in. He was very distraught. You know, I figured he didn't like the food spread they put out. But no, he had a different reason. He opened his bag and his laptop wasn't in there, Steve. No laptop. So we were trying to figure out what went on, I think, and then he had to go buy another laptop, Steve, before he left for Munich. So, you know, it was a rough Sunday for Lee DeKemper.
Well, Ira, I'm just still stunned that 41-year anniversary, your idea of your after-dinner entertainment is election results. Where's the Sinatra? What's going on, Ira?
The election results will have to wait maybe for an hour and a half after I get home, and I'll let everybody use their imagination, Isbitz.
Well, Sage, all right, that's good to know. You scared me there. I had a picture of you running home and putting on whatever it is you watch. Speaking of election results, you can fight inflation at Bill Curry Ford. You can buy a Ford Blue Advantage certified pre-owned vehicle with that nationwide lifetime warranty on it, and they've got less than 1% APR financing through the end of the month. Check it all out at BillCurryFord.com. Really a great certified pre-owned program they have now. And of course, the nationwide lifetime warranty is available on all new vehicles. And if you want to order a new vehicle, it's easy. You do it online or you can do it at the showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Sean Sullivan's going to give you $500 just for doing it, Ira, and no deposit. Great selection. Get it all started at BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, he's the GM at Bill Curry. He's going to help you personally, give you that Ira Kaufman discount. And he'll also be hanging out with you personally Sunday at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. The Sage will be out there. He'll be all fired up watching the Bucks game kick off at 9:30. Get to Big Storm at 9 o'clock, just south of Holmerton Road. Fantastic breakfast menu. Then the lunch menu would kick in at 11. Of course, alcohol will be flowing if you want a mimosa, something from the Bloody Mary bar. You've got the Bromosas on tap and all the great Big Storm beers. Big Storm Brewery, come on out. We're going to have a good time. We got giveaways, and it's just going to be great food, great fun. No other games on, just Bucks fans and the Sage. Are you ready, Ira? You're going to be, hopefully there's no storm blowing through.
Steve, I'm trying to decide whether to pre-order a mimosa. So it's sitting there at my table when I show up at 9 in the morning. I'm looking forward to seeing a whole bunch of Buck fans. Sean Sullivan's going to be there.
Yeah, we are excited, though, to see fans out at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. 9 a.m. kickoff. You can get your avocado toast with a couple of eggs for $11.95. All kinds of breakfast specials, including the Ira Kaufman, which is a breakfast quesadilla, pork, eggs, green onions, peppers, five cheeses, all kinds of great things on the menu, including a hangover burger, sandwiches, BigStormBrewery.com. Sage, I got to ask you because, you know, we're all ecstatic. The Bucks won, alone now in first place, owning the tiebreaker on the Falcons in the NFC South. They're 4-5. But what did we learn about the Bucks in that victory? What did we learn? Good or bad? What do we know now that we didn't know on Saturday?
Steve, I'm glad you're trying to provide a little perspective for Buck fans, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. They won the game, and that's what's important. You know what we learned? It's a pretty darn good defense. We slapped it around during the three-game tailspin for the second-half performances. And the Rams don't have a great offense, Steve, and that's an understatement. But the Buck defense played a whale of a game, Steve. They really did. They had one bust. Who the heck does the bust come against Cooper Kupp, you know, the classic buck killer of all time. But that's Cooper Kupp. He does it to a lot of teams, Steve. Other than that, I think the defense was fantastic. Now, look, the Rams don't run the ball any better than the Bucs, which is saying all you need to know. But it's still Matt Stafford. They won the damn Super Bowl last year with Matt Stafford, and they went nowhere. When they had to get shut down by the Buck defense, they did. Vita Vea was outstanding. I thought Carlton Davis was outstanding. No Winfield. He'll be back. It's going to make a good defense even better. So I was very – and Devin White played better, Steve, instead of reading his press clippings the other way. He read his press clippings and got back into shape. Looked a little bit more like the Devin White we're used to. So I think that's the very encouraging part. Steve, let's be honest, the other side of the ball, there's not much to say. I mean, there isn't. Leonard Fournette doesn't look good. Chris Godwin doesn't look good. Julio Jones, who the heck knows? Mike Evans might have cracked a rib during the game. The best news was special teams, and Kate Otten is coming on. You know, that 28-yarder, that turned that whole game around. 28 yards on the first snap when they need 60 to score. I don't know what the heck the Rams were doing, but Kate Otten came up big, Steve, so I got to see a lot more from this offense. I mean a lot more, because you're not going to go up against too many teams where 13 points is good enough. The Rams are toast, Steve. You're not playing the Rams this week. You're playing a better team than the Rams, and that offense, Buck offense, has to show marked improvement.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the defense, Ira, because they are top 10 in both key metrics as far as points allowed and yards allowed. A lot of this was the Rams, but we can't discount what the defensive line was able to dominate. And, you know, that was a huge key to the game, of course, and it played into all the decisions late for the Rams. You know, in Los Angeles, they're freaking out. Third and five, they didn't throw. They ran it up the middle to try to kill time and give the ball back to Tom Brady, who does that. You know, the Cooper Kupp slide late in the game, Ira wrote about that at Joe Bucks Fan. They're also going crazy about that in Los Angeles because he got the edge, and he's one of the best yak guys in the NFL, and he turned the corner and slid so he wouldn't go out of bounds, even though he could have just lowered his head and probably, if he didn't get the first down, would have ended up with a third and two. He started his slide. He still had a couple yards between him and a defender and most likely would have been third and two, third and one. You know, so the Bucs did get their share of breaks as far as overall decisions in the game. But I don't know, Ira, the Kate Otten stuff, hopefully they build on it. That's the key. I mean, if he can catch and he showed that he can play in the clutch, and now he's got something like 24 catches in that ballpark, which is good for a rookie tight end. He's not really a rookie anymore in a lot of ways. He's, you know, he's been out there. And, man, do you think they can build on this and start to trust him? I mean, somebody's got to get open, and they have guys open. They're not always hitting them, but the offense has to get back to where it was, and I think he might be the key.
I think Brady loves this kid. I think he does. He trusts Kate Otten. It didn't take very long. And why not? I mean, the kid looks good. He's blocking pretty well also. Steve, I'm a little worried about Godwin. Last week, the storyline was from Todd Bowles. He's, quote, close to 100%. I've been saying, you know, for the past month, he's showing improvement every week. He's going to be 100%. Steve, he was a total non-factor. Total non-factor. He's not, you know, the little screens to Godwin, those aren't working. He's not getting open over the middle from the slot. I'm a little worried about Chris Godwin at this point. If he hasn't made that jump, Steve, noticeably by this point of the season. I mean, we're going into the second half of the year. I don't know what to expect from Godwin in December and January if the Bucs are in the postseason. I'm worried about that. Julio Jones, Steve, at this point, Buck fans can't count on him whatsoever. We saw the reappearance of Scotty Miller a little bit, Otten going forward. But, Steve, overall, I mean, for three quarters, for 58 minutes, this Buck offense went absolutely nowhere. And you know what, Steve? The Rams defense, even though they've got Donald, they got Ramsey, they got Bobby Wagner, it's not that good an offense, Steve. The week before, the 49ers kind of took them apart.
So yeah, defense, yeah. Defense, yep.
Yeah, the Rams defense is not anywhere near where it was last year. They really miss Von Miller, whose presence really frees up Aaron Donald in a significant way. And the Bucs went nowhere for 59 minutes. Ryan Succop providing all the points. I don't know if they win that game without Jake Kamarder. Steve, he was a huge factor. So Jalen Darden's starting to grow on me, Steve. There's some things happening. Succop's had a heck of a season. You know, we've been picking on Keith Armstrong, Steve. Right now, Bucks special teams, they're looking good.
Darden's been improving. He's running a little bit more north-south. I think he's at 10.6 yards a return, which is like top 9 or 10 in the league.
Yeah, that's a good number, Steve.
Yeah, anything over 10 is definitely good. The Godwin thing is very interesting, Ira. There's a few things at play. We heard what Bowles said. I was looking for a little more from Godwin after, you know, the 10, 11 days off. I thought there'd be a little more there. But they're sort of overusing him, which is the weird thing as well. Godwin, I'm going to read you the last four games, Ira. In this game, 92% of the snaps, 77 total. Previous game, 90. Previous game, 94. Previous game, 89%. That's a lot, and they're asking him to block. I mean, if there's a new video of Chris Godwin mic'd up at Buccaneers.com, you're watching him block on a couple of plays and doing what he does within this offense, except it's not there for him down the field lately. Yeah, there have been some times where, yeah, he's showing glimpses and looking better, but in this game, I don't know why. 7 catches for 36 yards. You know, those screens aren't really going anywhere these days. They're very predictable, which goes back to Byron Leftwich. And for some reason, no deep shots to Chris Godwin. It's a little bit strange, especially since he wasn't the one drawing Jalen Ramsey and some of the tougher coverage. I don't know. I haven't given up on him, Ira, but they're using him a ton.
And they're targeting him a lot, which I wouldn't mind, Steve, if his health wasn't still in question. I wouldn't mind him playing 90% of the snaps if it's the Chris Godwin that Buck fans came to love. Steve, I hold him to a high standard. I mean, maybe I'm not being fair in terms of a serious injury late last season, but I hold Godwin to a high standard. There have been times, Steve, where I thought he was as important and maybe as skilled a receiver as Mike Evans. There's been times. We forget how great he was last year before he got hurt. I mean, he was having a hell of a season. And, you know, there's no yards after catch. He's not making people miss, Steve, after he's grabbing. He's not catching a big percentage of his targets. Steve, I'm used to him 70, 75% of the ball sent his way being completed. And that's just not happening. You know, I think Brady's trying to force the ball to him a little bit, maybe to try to get him going. Maybe it'll happen in Munich. You know, maybe some of that overseas cooking will help. But right now, I'm disappointed in Chris Godwin. I just think he's a key figure going forward.
No, it's a smart point you made about what he might look like in January or February. But, you know, we're still going one step at a time with the way the Bucks are right now as a team collectively. Ira, you know, the win is great. And I think a lot of people look at the win, and if you listen to the players and Tom Brady even, they needed this win mentally, and I get that. I totally get that. But if the team was strong, or pretty strong even mentally, and the coaching was on point, if we were to believe that that was the case before this game, then how much could the confidence from this game really boost them? You know, I don't think you can look at it as just a savior turning point pivotal moment in the season. I don't know. I just don't feel like that. I feel like the challenges they've had on offense run so much deeper than, man, you know, Brady pulled us out of it. We got this going now. We got a rhythm. I don't see that. Do you?
I share your sentiment, Steve, because, you know, to me, they didn't address, even though they won the game, and any kind of ugly win is a win, and they'll take it, and it's going to make for a more enjoyable overseas flight. They still can't run the ball, and I think it's killing them. It's killing them in a lot of ways. It has absolutely wiped out the threat of play action. Nobody's paying it any attention. I heard Bowles say this week, Steve, that because defenses are not respecting the Buck running game, and Steve, why should they? This is not a blip. This is 8 games. I don't say 9 because they ran it very well in the opener. So it's 8 games. They've done nothing on the ground in 8 games. Fournette's average since week 1, it might be below 2.5. I got to go check it, but it's terrible. Every time you look up, it's 2nd and 8 instead of 2nd and 5, and it makes a huge difference. And Bowles said the safeties are playing deep, and they're not going to get beat over the top, and we got to draw those guys up. And right now, the Bucks can't do it, Steve. And I think can't put it all on Leonard Fournette. Rashad White's not doing much better, Steve, with the ball. He's not. The holes just aren't there, Steve. And I think that's where the Marpet retirement and the injury to Jensen, that's really where it's showing up. I'll say it again, Steve, and I believe it. Protection, I got no problems with the protection. Zero. I mean, Aaron Donald's going to make a few plays. But, Steve, you brought it up many times. The guy's throwing 50, 55 times a game. He's going to get hit, Steve. He's not on the run. He's not under siege. I know he's getting rid of the ball quick. But, Steve, I watched Patrick Mahomes Sunday night. The guy almost never has a clean pocket, Steve. He's always on the run. Always. And I don't see that with Brady. So I'm not going to pick on this offensive line in terms of protection. But, Steve, they're doing a piss-poor job in terms of opening holes.
Midway point, I guess, in a lot of ways, and even though it's a 17-game season, but it just hasn't been there for 8 games in a row. So you have to think that they don't know how to fix it. That was probably the most disappointing thing to me in this game, is that they, all that self-scouting, all that time they took, they couldn't fix it. So now what? Do you make anything of the report, sideline report, that Leonard Fournette was pouting in the second quarter, upset that he wasn't in the game, and Rashad White apparently came over to him and, you know, said, hey, we need you, we love you, and it's all good, don't worry about it. What do you make of that, knowing Fournette's history in 2020 of being a guy who was benched because his head wasn't where it needed to be and was a little too me first? What do you make of that?
You just hit the key point, Steve. I would downplay it if it wasn't for his 2020 history, when Arians got so fed up with him, he basically said, hey, you want to be moved? We'll get you out of here tomorrow. That's how bad it was. I don't think this one was as bad, but I guess Fournette is generally frustrated with this offense. He's part of the problem right now, Steve. He just hasn't been very productive. I will say this, Steve. He made a key catch on that final drive, and he got more yards than the play was really designed for. So that was a big play by Leonard Fournette. That might help him going forward. But I've seen very, very little out of Leonard Fournette as a running back running the football since the Dallas opener. I'm a little shocked at it. As bad as the holes are, Steve, if you're that good a running back, you got to make something happen. You can't average 2.5 yards. We're back with Ronald Jones in the rookie season. We thought we had that behind us. I mean, it's really horrendous. Yeah, the Rams can't run either, and that's hurting them. But I don't take any solace in the fact that the Rams aren't any better than the Bucks. The Bucks got to be just a lot better than they are. A lot better.
Akeem Hicks, Ira, did he impress you? Did he get anything done that you liked? You felt he was maybe inspired? Just his presence alone inspired Vita Vea, as far as maybe feeling a little bit more free? What was your take there?
You know, Steve, I wasn't sure until I addressed it with Derek Brooks this morning, and I did, and I asked him the impact of Akeem Hicks. Brooks thought it was significant in terms of the opponent game planning for the Bucks defensive line. They have to use a few more resources when Akeem Hicks is in the game, and Brooks thinks it did help Vita Vea. Something certainly helped Vita Vea, Steve. He was a compelling factor in the game. I don't know how many snaps he played, but I don't think it was Chris Godwin-like, you know, in terms of 80%. But Vita Vea made his presence felt all afternoon, and I think Akeem Hicks was part of it. And I expect more out of Hicks in Germany as he gets used to the speed of the game after a long time on the sidelines. I think the Buck defense is going to have a pretty good game on Sunday, Steve.
Sage, I got a good one for you. I've really been dying to ask your opinion on this. I was going to call you, but I didn't. I knew you had busy things going on, big anniversary prep and all that. Sage, first I want to mention, though, the storm is coming. Another storm hitting Florida. It's probably going to come across the state in some form or another. And be ready. That means Florida's Elite Restoration is in your phone. It's on your laptop, in your favorites. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Storm damage, flood, fire, mold, whatever the issue is in your home, you need someone you can trust who knows how to take care of you on what may be one of the worst days of your life, or certainly a day that you'll remember. That's Florida's Elite Restoration. Owner Josh Martin, he's a friend of yours, Sage, and he's giving everybody $500 if they call him up and get a free assessment at their property, and then decide to go ahead and use their service. All they have to do is mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman, and that's money you can use toward your deductible on a home repair. Or maybe that's just money you save on a cash deal for something you need done. But Florida's Elite Restoration gets the job done right, and they know how to work with insurance companies because Josh has 14 years experience as an adjuster, Sage. So I know you feel comfortable with some more rain coming our way.
You know, Steve, let's hope that, Nicole comes and goes with minimal impact on West Central Florida. But you never know. You never know. The track of a storm is a work in progress. It's fluid. If it does affect us, Steve, and, you have some water damage, potential mold, you want to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Make that your first phone call because you want to get an honest assessment. Odds are it's something minor, and you'll breathe a sigh of relief. Either way, Florida's Elite Restoration will give you peace of mind, and that's what you want, Steve.
Sage, what I wanted to ask you is, this started off as just a curiosity for me, and it's 5 games in a row now that the Bucks have not forced a turnover. 5 in a row. So my inclination was, wow, when has that happened before? So I started doing the research, Ira. It has never happened before. Never. Went all the way back to the opening years with John McKay coaching. Is this a coincidence, or is it a reflection of effort and fire and all the things that can force turnovers? Sometimes, yes, there's luck involved, but is this a coincidence, Ira? First time in Bucks history.
Steve, I am absolutely stunned that you did 46 years of research on this topic. I got to give you a lot of credit. That's a shocking statistic, Steve. Shocking. This goes back to 1976, and you say there's never been a 5-game stretch in franchise history where they didn't force a single turnover. I mean, Steve, they had a lot of bad defenses before Brooks and Sapp came along in 1995, Steve. And they had a lot of bad defenses, after Gruden and Monty Kiffin left. That is a shocker. I'm going to think it's a coincidence because, Steve, at the same time, they're not getting takeaways. And certainly that can help an ailing offense without question, giving them short fields, maybe returning a fumble or an interception for points. And God knows this team needs points. But at the same time, and you mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast, Steve, defense is playing well. Defense is playing well, top 10 points and yards. I'm not going to kill this defense. I know Bowles is huge on takeaways, but I don't think the turnover ratio has been a major factor in this 4-5 getaway.
No, Ira, look.
Brady's thrown one pick.
All right, I was just curious what you thought the cause was. I realize that the defense is doing well, and they've had their bad moments. They've had the Ravens game and the Falcons and late collapse, but it's a good defense. The defense is the last of the major issues on this football team, Ira. From an ownership perspective, Sage, ownership, and I'm not talking about the Curry family for the last 62 years at Bill Curry Ford, where you need to be shopping at BillCurryFord.com. I'm talking about the Glazers. Did this win do anything for them? Did it move the needle as far as anything as they look at the future of the team? We saw what we saw, which was an ugly, ugly football game that the Bucks pulled out in Tom Brady fashion, and everybody feels good, and we feel great about it. And, find your way to the playoffs. There's a lot of room and time for this team to get better. This could be a totally different team on December 15th, and that's still a month from the playoffs. But did this game do anything for the Glazers as they view Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich? And specifically, Ira, at least on a small scale, you could say the Bucks figured out the Rams and the Saints this year so far, and that's progress in its own small way. What's your thought there?
I think you're really stretching it to say there's been progress when they're sitting there with a 4-5 record. Yeah, they'll probably win the division, but it looks for sure that even if they do, they're going to be the number 4 seed. That probably doesn't bode well for January. Steve, in terms of ownership and the way they're looking at this coaching staff and the roster, Steve, I think we got to wait till Sunday to see if they got a bounce out of that comeback win. If they did, Byron Leftwich, no matter how they play on Sunday, if they get another win, and even their record at 5-5 going into the bye, then you wouldn't think ownership would put pressure on for any kind of major change. If they go to Munich, Steve, and they lose, 17-6, then there's the bye week. They're 4-6. I don't really care about the division at that point, how winnable the Glazers think it is. If they're 4-6 and the offense stinks again and they lose, I could easily see a lot of pressure to make a change from a play caller perspective. Whether Bowles wants to do it or not, Steve, I don't really think that matters. If there's pressure coming from up above, he's going to do what's necessary. And I'm not sure he wouldn't think that the Glazers would be right at that point. I think it all depends on this game going into the bye week. Changes happen at the bye week. Even if the Bucks lost last week, I think they would have waited till the bye week. Let's see what happens. If they win, that's two in a row. You don't think there's going to be a change. Although, Steve, I will say this. Steve, in 1990, I'm covering the Bucks, and Ray Perkins got fired the day after a win. I think they beat the Falcons, and the day after, Culverhouse fired Perkins. You don't see that very often, Steve. It can happen after a win in terms of bouncing an offensive coordinator, but, Steve, it's very unlikely. So I'm going to hold off till Sunday because, Steve, I'm still a little skeptical that they're going to get that bounce that Buck fans are hoping for.
Yeah, I think that's your word of the day, Ira, bounce. They need the bounce, and that's what I was looking for against the Rams, that the offense would bounce back like we said on the podcast. You know what? Score 21 points, put up a few touchdowns, 24 points, make some progress, use the time that you had to self-scout against a very average defense in the Rams and get something done. And as you said, the protection was still pretty good. It's just nothing's there. And they got to find it because it's too easy to believe now that they don't know what to do. And that's a problem. So we will see. We'll look for the bounce, Ira. I suggest everyone bounce over to join us at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater Sunday, 9 a.m. Special opening time, outdoor tap room, covered seating, great sound, indoor tap room, great breakfast menu, the Sage, hanging all over the place, eating your hash browns, a lot of good fun Bucks talk. Sean Sullivan from Bill Curry Ford will be there. If you have a vehicle question you want to ask and you want to ask him about the draft or about his podcast, The Best in Class, Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan will be there. We thank Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Don't hesitate. That's your call. And you should feel good about knowing that they're there for you 24/7. Ira, I got to ask you this as we get out of here, because to me, it was mind-blowing. And I don't think anybody else caught it, and the national media hasn't touched it. Todd Bowles, he was blasted for not throwing the challenge flag. Social media went wild when Kamara made that kick, bounced at the one, Bucks downed it at the five, the refs ruled touchback, but it didn't look like it had crossed, and there was some images out there that there was a little bit of green, on the still shot of the ball being right next to the white line of the end zone. And okay, so they went to a commercial break. Bulls didn't challenge it. They came back, no challenge. Rams run the ball from the 20-yard line. Okay, that's it. Well, it was so in my craw, Ira, that I tapped a source that I don't usually tap for this kind of thing because it was minor, but I was like, hey, what was the deal with that? And I wrote up on Monday morning that Bowles was told by the referee on the sidelines. They said, hey, New York looked at it. We looked at it. It's going to be inconclusive, coach. And so Bowles didn't challenge it because he had inside information from the official. So I'm like, man, that is sketchy just from a gambler, game integrity standpoint, because, a timeout is at stake in a tight game. So I wrote about that at 9 a.m. At 12:40, Todd Bowles takes the podium. He's asked about it, and he smiles and laughs and says, quote, when the ref came over and told me that they couldn't tell and they watched the replay and couldn't tell, they weren't going to change it. So there was no reason to challenge it. What the hell's going on, Ira? Are referees giving tips to coaches that affects games? I don't understand. What do you make of all that?
Well, I've never heard of anything like that, Steve. You're unprecedented. Maybe it's happened, but I haven't heard a coach say it, Steve, like Todd Bowles did. Steve, if it happened, and I, you know, I'm not disputing Bowles' version of the events. Steve, you throw the challenge flag when you think you can win it. And if you don't think you can win it, you don't throw it, because those timeouts are very valuable. And of course, the Bucks, you know, needed the timeouts down the stretch. And if they were short one, it really could have affected the outcome of that game. If Bowles had inside information, I got no problem with Bowles keeping that challenge flag in his pocket. Absolutely zero.
Ira, he did the right thing. This was a win for the Buccaneers, an absolute win for the Bucs. I'm just talking on an NFL level. It's kind of scary when you got referees telling, don't challenge it. We're hearing that you're going to lose. I don't want them saying that to the Seahawks next week in Germany.
Steve, this is crazy stuff, because what strikes me is this is the second time within a month we're talking about the behavior of an NFL official at a Buccaneer game. Let's not forget the whole controversy over what happened with Mike Evans, where Mike Evans says the guy was just asking me for my phone number and this and that and my autograph. Steve, what's going on with these NFL officials in Buccaneer football? But you're right. On Sunday, apparently, it worked in the Bucs' favor. And you know what? It might have turned out to be a critical conversation between Bowles and that official.
You know, we'll take any edge we can get, but I don't like thinking of anybody else getting an edge. All right, Sage, be well. Enjoy the anniversary. We want to hear highlights later in the week. And say goodbye to everyone.
Stevie, let's remember. On our next podcast later in this week, leading up to Sunday's game, and of course our big storm gathering on Sunday morning, we'll be joined, hopefully, on site by Lee DeKemper, and I'm looking forward to it. DeKemper gives us a little update on what's going on the scene. I love the fact that Lee's there. Even some of the local TV stations, they're not going to Germany. Joe Bucks fan is. We should have one heck of a podcast. Steve, I want to talk about Bill Curry Ford for a moment for our listeners. Steve, all they have to know about the deals that are available right now at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium, east side of Dale Mabry. My son, who lives in a suburb of Cleveland, got on the phone with the sales manager and worked out a deal for I believe it's a 2020 150, and he worked out a deal to his satisfaction, to the point, Steve, instead of buying a Ford out of Cleveland, you know, 6 miles away, Sam bought the vehicle at Bill Curry Ford in Tampa. He's going to have to fly down one way and drive it all the way back to Cleveland. But the deal was so good, you know, with the $500, the Ira Kaufman discount, the pre-certified guarantees. Steve, the deal was so good, he decided to buy his vehicle 1,000 miles away here in Tampa. Now, that right there tells you a lot.
All right, Sage, and good for Sam, and I'm sure you'll enjoy hanging out with him. And if you want to leave town, I'm sure he'll drive you back out to Cleveland with him to hang out.